Shasha Shah, the rabbi is coming, and the rabbi is with us.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, rabbi, and welcome back to Windsor.
Thank you. How are you?
I am good.
So I just got back from the Holy Land, the holy city of the Jews, and I went for a wedding, and it was absolutely, you know, obviously you can never go long enough. It's always so much to do, so much to see, so much good food to eat. You don't want to come back.
Nope.
And I was, you know, I was talking with someone when I got back. It's like, it's a little bit of a culture shock. You know, you come back from seeing all the hills in Jerusalem and the driving around and you see where the houses are. And it's a totally different way of life than coming back to Windsor. I mean, it's good to come back to Windsor, but a real home is there. So I was in, I was at the Western Wall, obviously. Prayed for my family and the community of Windsor. I went to Marat HaMachpelah, where is in Hebron, which is where the patriarchs and the matriarchs are buried. Prayed over there, very holy site, prayed over there. And then, you know, had some, as they say, some good food, good shawarma, and good falafel, which you can't get anywhere in the world like it is in Israel.
And kosher,
correct. But you know what I think was the nicest thing was is I was at a hotel Wednesday night, the night of the wedding. So I went down in the morning, Thursday morning, and wow, can you imagine the breakfast that they put on?
Yeah.
All the hotels and everything, they put on breakfast. I mean, put any hotel, fancy hotel in here in North America to shame.
Ten different types
of cheeses.
No breakfast like the Israeli breakfast in hotels.
That's right. 10 different types of cheeses and different types of breads and salads. And it's amazing. But, you know, it's amazing. Whoever hasn't gone to Israel, I think, it's a very important thing. And it's a good thing for the individual person. You see the spiritual side. You do feel the different types of spirituality from the minute you walk into land in Israel, you feel this automatically.
I agree with you.
And then it's just culturally and you know, food wise and people wise, it's amazing. And people that argue and say, it's not safe. In my opinion, I think firstly it's the safest place in the world, and second of all, I walked the streets 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning. I didn't feel for a moment that I was not safe.
You felt safer than walking in downtown Windsor.
Absolutely. 100%.
I agree with you.
So this is my pitch. Whoever hasn't gone, go.
Yeah, it will fill you. It will fill your heart and soul.
That's right. And Israel needs us. You know, this is our homeland.
Yeah.
Where else are we going to go? We start going to Iceland and Dubai and all that. Those are nice places to go.
Yeah.
But go to Israel. Should be the first stop.
I'm going. I heard you.
Yes, good.
That's
I know you're going, but you're going a little bit longer than I'm going, so you're going to enjoy it more. So, anyway, so this week's Torah portion is Beha'alotcha, which we read in the Torah portion that Aaron, Moses' brother, is commanded to raise lights in the lamps of the menorah, and the tribe of Levi is initiated into the service in the sanctuary. We talk about lighting of the menorah constantly in this week's Torah portion. We also talk about the idea of the second Passover, which was instituted in response to the petition of the Jews. Why should we be deprived by a group of Jews who were unable to bring the Passover offering at their point in time because they were impure? God instructs Moses on the prestigious of Israel's journeys and encampment in the desert. The people are dissatisfied with their quote-unquote bread from heaven, the manna, and demand that Moses supply them with meat. And we see many, many different things that goes on. And it ends off that Moses appoints 70 elders to assist him. Miriam speaks negatively of Moses and is punished with leprosy. Moses prays for her healing, and the entire community waits for 7 days for her recovery, for them to continue going on and doing what they're supposed to do and continue journey. You know, that they waited for Miriam for 7 days. Everyone was ready to go. And they waited for her to be clean of the leprosy, to come back into the camp and to be able to go. And you think is that it shows something that's so important, that even one individual, one person, is so important in the Jewish religion. Now, I remember hearing a question once that someone asked the rabbi, and the question was that it says in the Torah, which I think has a very important lesson, which that's why I wanted to bring it up. It says in the Torah, and Moses was exceedingly humble, more than any man on the face of the earth. It's a very nice compliment.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, who wrote this verse? The person who wrote this verse was Moses himself. Is that called humility? Moses was the one that was writing down what God told him to write, and so on and so forth, and he was writing everything down. And Moses is writing, and Moses was exceedingly humble. How's that humble? How's that humility? And I remember hearing the answer, I think there's something very, very important. Before we even answer something, before we even answer this, there really is a part to even make this question even stronger. If it also says in the Torah that Moses spoke face to face with God, no man like Moses ever lived, and countless other similar praises that is said about Moses, how could Moses write all of this if he is indeed a humble person? And if you think about it, Moses was 100% the epitome of humble, because truly humble people recognize their own talents and achievements, but they don't take credit for them. They feel that their talents are gifts from God. They truly believe that their achievements are only due to the opportunity that came their way. No matter how successful, popular, and gifted they may be, it won't go to their head. Why? Because they feel that this isn't their own accomplishment. So Moses, if you think about it, was more humble than any man on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
He was fully aware of the amazing feats that he had achieved. He took the Israelites out of Egypt. You know, he led them through the desert. He spoke to God in Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. He gave them that. He brought down the Torah. No other human in history had reached such height. And Moses knew it. But he truly believed that it was a greatness, that his greatness was a divine gift. And had somebody else been given this opportunity, they would have utilized them better than he did. He would look at the simplest of people and think, if he was in my shoes, he would have been better than Moses himself. Now, for a person to see themselves worthless, that's not humility. That's just being ungrateful. Because God has blessed each one of us with unique qualities, and we have to be aware of it. In fact, only when we are aware of our own self-worth can we be humble. We are humbled when we ask ourselves, I have been given the potential of greatness. And the question is now, have I used the gift? Have I been able to get to that level? You know, it reminds me that there's a famous pious Reb Zusha Anipoli. He was from the city of Anipol, and in those times they would call you Rabbi so-and-so from
Tel Aviv
or so-and-so. He was known as Reb Zusha Anipoli, very, very great sage of a man. And he said that when I come before the heavenly tribunal, when I die, go up to heaven, I am not afraid that they will demand of me, why wasn't Zusha like the patriarch Abraham? Why wasn't he like this? Why wasn't he like that? But I'm afraid that they will ask me, why wasn't Zusha as Zusha could have been? In other words, every person has this potential and this work in this world. And to degrade yourself and to make yourself like you're a scumbag and so on and so forth, that's not humility. That won't get you to do what you're supposed to be doing. The question has to always be, why wasn't I like me who could have been better than what I was supposed to be doing? And that's, I think, an important lesson. So we can all be humble. And we can all take credit. And we can all, you know, be proud of what it is. But once we allow it to get to our head, that's a little bit of a different of a problem. So I think that's an important lesson that we can all learn, and something that we should take to make part of our lives, that be humble, but achieve. Do what we're supposed to do. Be the individual person that is going to be saying that when I go up to heaven, I'm not going to be worried if they're going to ask me, why was I not the way I was supposed to be? Because I will do what I need to do in this world to make that I'm going to be better than what I am and what I have potential to do. I think that's a very, very important lesson that we can learn from this week's Torah portion.
Rabbi, what about services this week?
So we have services Friday evening at 7 o'clock and Shabbat morning at 9:30 and Sunday morning at 8:30, followed by breakfast. And then we have service Monday and Thursday at 7:15 in the Paris House. So that's a great way to start the day and a great way to go straight to work, feeling pumped up and ready to go.
That's it. Rabbi, I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom and great weekend.
You too, and I look forward to talking next week.
Same here.
Be well.
Thank you again. Bye-bye.